We are on our journey, and we're at the third leg, which is the outward leg. And I'm going to give the journey point, and then we're going to show you some videos of people from around the world who we are involved with in taking the gospel. And then James Ryans is going to share with us a little bit about their recent trip to Guyana, and then we'll close. Our key memory verse for this week is Luke 19:10, and it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus left heaven and came here on purpose, because we were lost. And he, at great sacrifice to himself, he came so that we could be saved. And that was his purpose. And then it seems like somewhere in the Bible it talks about us being like Christ, that we're to do it. And if you're Christians, we want to be like Christ. And if Christ's purpose was to seek and to save the lost, then what might our purpose be? I'll let you figure that out. I know it's hard. If Jesus didn't care about us, then where would we be? But he did care. And that's the interesting thing also, is God is a lover of people. In John 3:16, most of you are familiar with, it says what? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Okay? He loved the world. And he didn't just love the good people, because there aren't any. Okay? He loved the sinners, which is all of us. And so he didn't choose to love us because we were good. In fact, Romans 5, verse 6 says he died for the ungodly. Verse 8, while we were still sinners. Verse 10, while we were his enemies. So he didn't die for us because we were so lovely, or we were so nice, or we were so good, or any of that. And so obviously God's love has absolutely nothing to do with how good we are or what we look like. If you had had the opportunity, as I've been blessed, to go into different parts of the world, like Russia and Costa Rica and El Salvador and all, what I find is people are the same everywhere. They care about their families, and they're, you know, trying to figure out what life is about, and they have two problems, like all of us: sin. Romans 3:23, all of sin comes short of the glory of God, and death. We all die. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. But then it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's the good news. And you have to understand the bad news before the good news makes a whole lot of sense to you. So if God is a lover of people, and God is a lover of all kinds of people, then we are to be imitators of God. So what would that make us? French fries, right? It would make us lovers of people. Now, it doesn't say likers of people. Some of you say, "I don't like people." That may be true. But he doesn't call us to like people. He calls us to love people. And there's a difference. You notice Jesus said what? Love your enemies? Now, if they were your enemies, you wouldn't have warm, fuzzy feelings for them. Okay, otherwise they wouldn't be your enemies. Okay, so it means what? How do you love them? It means you choose, you want what's best for them. And so if we are to be lovers of people, God created every person you meet, God created in his image. And every person you meet is somebody that God loves. And every person you meet is somebody Jesus died for. And every person you meet has a soul that's worth more than all the world. Therefore, they are valuable. And they should be treated as valuable. And that's the way God treats them. And that's the way Jesus treats them. And that's the way we should treat them. And so whenever you see somebody, and see, evangelism, we talk about evangelism, whatever, but it's who you are. It comes out of how you see people. There's only two kinds of people in the world, lost and saved. If you're lost, you need the gospel. If you're saved, you need to be encouraged, and you need to be sharing it with others. That's what we're here for. That's why God put you here on this earth. He wants you to be part of his mission to take the gospel to the world. I wanted to read 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Again, does that reflect our attitude? How we see people? In Romans 1:16, it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Well, I better read it. It's God's power to salvation. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Well, that's everybody. Okay? And do we believe that the gospel is God's power to save people? That's what it says here, right? In fact, the Greek word for it is dunamis, which is where we get our word dynamite. It's God's dynamite to change people. Dynamite usually changes things. Okay? And that's God's dynamite that he gives to us to help change lives. I can't think of a greater thing than helping somebody change their life. Give them hope. And that's what you do when you share the gospel with somebody. And we all can do it in different ways, and you don't have to do it. You may not do it sitting down one-on-one with somebody. You may do it a lot of different ways. I'm not trying to make you feel like if you don't do it the way I do it, then you're not doing it. That's not true. Okay? But there should be, you see, there's one way where we make everybody feel guilty, because if you don't do it exactly like the preacher does it, then something wrong with you. And that's not true, because we're all different. But then there's the other extreme where, well, that's the preacher's job and that's not my job, so I'm not involved in it at all. And that's not true. If I'm a Christian, I should love people, because God loves people, and Christ loves people, and Christ cares about people, and so we should care about people. You think the world, I think Congress is probably going to pass some laws, and our whole country will get straightened out, and everything will work fine, right? Y'all waiting on that, are you? Have you not figured out that the world hasn't got a clue? It is not going to get better by itself. The only difference that will be made in this future will be if people are taught to be Christians. With the gospel, people have hope and they have life. The kind of life that Jesus came to give. John 10:10, he came to give people life and have it to the full or abundantly. That's the only life there is. And people need that life. Some people realize it. Some people don't. But it's still the same. It's still true. And we have that opportunity. Today we're going to, as I said, show some videos. Today we're focusing on foreign missions because that's one of the ways that the gospel is taken. God told us to take the gospel to the whole world. And so some people are called to do that. Not everybody, but some people are called to do that. And so the first two videos we're going to see here are clips from our missionaries in Tomsk, Russia. I think the first one is Phil Lowry, Stephen Karen's son, who's there. And you're going to, he's got a message for you, a very brief message. And then the second clip will be from Vasya and Natasha Denisov and their family. We'll speak to you for just a couple minutes. After that concludes, then James is going to come up and I don't know. I'm not sure the order whether the clip is first.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. There'll be a clip from Guyana on their trip from Kishore, who's our missionary there. And then James will share, and then I'll get up and finish you off.
Hey, everybody. My name is Phil Lowry, and I am one of Central's missionaries in Tomsk, Russia. And this is my fiance, and I'll let her introduce herself.
Hello, everyone. My name is Irina, and I'm from Prokopievsk in Siberia. I met Phil at English Club 2 years ago while studying at Tomsk State University for my degree. I started attending Tomsk Christian Church in 2017.
Irina mentioned that we met at an English club. And, of course, our church has its own English club, of which I'm a big part. This year, we've been very successful with lots of students coming for the English club, but also transitioning to coming to various house churches or to my English house church. We've had at least 5 students that have reliably come to English house church, and at least one that shows a great deal of promise, continuing to study with us even after my house church and English club have ended. And even though English club has ended for the year, English club will continue, even though I won't be here to be a part of it. And I'm glad because a great many people who have come to the church first heard about our church through English Club. It's a great outreach ministry. So I wanted to thank you for supporting me all these years. Without your support, none of this would have been possible. I wouldn't have been able to live here. I wouldn't have been able to touch the lives of the students that I've interacted with. I wouldn't have been able to find love. I wouldn't have been able to grow as a Christian. So please know that whenever you support a missionary, you do more than you could possibly imagine, more than you understand. It's very important that we continue to support missions. I will see you guys at the end of August.
And I hope to see you very soon as well.
Okay. Bye.
See ya.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Greetings. Hi. From hot and sunny Siberia.
We're Vasya and Natasha Denisovs, and these are our 3 boys, Sasha, Andrusha, and Misha.
Hello.
Hiya.
We're ministers here in Tomsk Christian Church, and we want you to know that this church is growing and getting stronger, and in many ways, it's because of support that we receive from another part of the world. And we want to thank you for this support and for your prayers, for all missionaries who came here, for all encouragement that we received from you. And it's really encouraging to know that our family is so big and it's spreading far, far further than Tomsk and Tomsk region and Russia. It's all over the world. And thank you again for everything that we actually do together.
Thank you.
Everything that we do really makes changes. It really changes people's lives.
And we wanted to tell you that this September we are celebrating the 25th anniversary of our congregation. And we'd be really happy if you all could come and spend time with us at least for the weekend.
Yeah, so if you have chance, please come. I know it is not possible for all of us to get together, at least now. But anyway, we invite everybody, and if you have this chance, please come. We'll be really glad to spend this time with you. From Siberia, we love the Denisov's family.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, Central. Honestly, I don't know where to start because there is so much to talk about or so much I can say. I would like to say, to begin with, that we're very grateful. My family is very grateful for your years of support, your generous support, your love for us, working with us in this ministry from the time I started to do mission work. And so for that, my family is grateful. So I want to say, first of all, on behalf of our family, we're grateful for your encouragement and the way you push me. And I know when Cheryl and I came to Central, that would come up with all you brothers, especially you brothers that came to Guyana over the years. And thank you for that. I think if the church here that we're working with should say a word to you, they would definitely say thank you for letting us being here with them, because they always express the gratitude and the thanks to us for coming and working in Port Kaitum and living here. You know, it took years for Central to really start sending groups down, but once you did that, it is working so well. I know we have done things differently every time a group came, but I want you to know that while you're sending finance, sometimes finance doesn't do what we want it to do. It's good to have finance and it's good to have things and able to have facilities and equipment in the work. But sometimes you can have facilities, you can have equipment, but it really doesn't do the work. And so you sending down groups here, that is a real encouragement to us. First of all, it is an encouragement because of what we get from the fellowship and the interaction and the strengthening and all of that. See, my family here, the church depends on us all the time for encouragement, and we have to go and give of our time and everything. And to be honest, people don't come back to us and say, look, we're here to encourage you or pray with you. It's like, they think as leaders of the church, my family, especially me and Cheryl, they look up to us and we have to give all the time. So when the groups come down like now, it means so much to us because we have been encouraged and we're gaining. We're getting people who come here and they're giving to us to encourage us and build us up. So what we are giving out in the work, we gain when the groups are here. So the groups are very good to come. We love Central to keep, you know, sending the groups. I must say that over the years we have seen the group size down, so to speak. But I think the number we're having, like seven we're having now, seven, eight, or nine would be a real good number to work with. Cheryl and I would like the group to keep coming. And not only come to go in the fields, but just to sit in our home and just laugh and talk and pray and sing. That's real good. And so I want to say thank you. I don't know what else to say, but let me just say quickly, in terms of the work, there's a lot going on. We have a new congregation started up with brethren who have been restored, who left a long time, and the group here was able to meet with that little group. It's in the Orinoco area. I am working around all the groups, all the churches we have here. I have some great brothers that is helping along, like Brother Green, Brother Joel, Brother Kellogg, Brother Dennis, Brother Enoch, Brother Philbert, Brother Nicholas, Brother Cyprian, Brother Alan Henry, Brother Christopher Harry, Kelvin, our son. He is really involved in what we're doing. And a few others that I don't remember their names right now. And we have some great women at the church at Turu who are really working and doing stuff. So with that, I think we are growing. It might not be numbers, but we are definitely growing spiritually, and people are taking on the war. We have people occasionally would obey the gospel, and we're grateful for that. I am teaching. Hopefully, in another few years, there are going to be more people teaching. Let me say this also, that this program that we did this time with the young married couples and our young professional, it is something I dreamed of 3 years ago. I am glad that it came and we did that. And if this worked, this is something I would like for us to do every year. And that will help our young professionals, especially at Turu and by extension the other area, will help those young professionals to take on the ministry, to take on what we're doing as a church, and the young married couple to really run with it. So that's my desire. That's what I want to see happen. And then we have the teens kind of coming in their footsteps. So that is something I look forward to over the years. And finally, I want to say this. Brethren, please be patient with me. If I have to sit down and write these things in a report, to be honest, I don't know what to write. And when I start to write, I don't know what to leave out. I don't know what to put in. And so I kind of get discouraged putting a report together. So please forgive me. I will try my best to, you know, send a note here and there. But sometimes when Cheryl reads, she would read when I write up something, she would say, but you didn't say this and you didn't say that. And like, I don't know what to say, you know. Like, I don't know how to put all the pieces together. But thank you very much for what you have been doing. God bless you. I love you. And next year, Cheryl and I would like to make a trip to Huntsville. God bless you. Bye-bye.
In a way.
Hello.
Hey. Yeah, I wasn't there for that last part. I don't know what happened there. Good morning, everyone. So I was a part of the group that was able to make it down to Port Katuma. And just to kind of give some support to what he was saying, you know, Central's been supporting him for a long time now. And it's been like over 30 years. And so for him saying he has a young and married, he has a young professional, he has a teen group, that just didn't happen. You know, it just wasn't there. It's something he had to really work and get support from us to help him in that endeavor. And so the young professionals and some of the young and married were our age when we were in college, and the college group was going down all those years ago, you know, with the VBS and really pouring out. And now they're grown and now they have kids. And so it was his goal was really to say, hey, I want some people that came from Central when they was in one phase of life, and now you're in a new phase of life with the group, and how do you stay encouraged? How do you build each other up? And he wanted that to be able to share with each other. And that was his goal. And so, you know, Michelle has been before, Mr. Steve Lauer, Miss Melinda Gold, they've been before. This is my first time going. The Mosleys as well, and Rachel. And so when I get there, you know, there was a young lady, I believe her name is Zarina. She would hold Michelle's arm like this. And as I'm talking to her, she's like, nope, she's mine. So then I just made a running joke. I said, well, Michelle, I've come to visit you just to let you know your family is all right. And then I just walk off because she wouldn't let her go. But it was the love that was there. It picked up right where it left off with them. And so it was real encouraging to see that. You know, you all saw we was on the boat. And so I do want to back up. We have different congregations that fellowship in Guyana. We had Turu. Where that's kind of the main congregation where I would say maybe they had focus and work with, and that's alongside the river. And then we had also the estate. I myself did not get a chance to go to the estate, but that's in Port Katuma, so you didn't have to like get on the river to go. And then we had a place called Seabye. Seabye is an hour ride on a speedboat. And so we got to go there one day. And I just remember when we got to Seabye, they was really thankful for us being there. It's like, hey, we're kind of far away, you know, so we don't get a lot of visitors. So for you all to take time out to come to see us, that really meant a lot. You know, we sometimes feel alone. And when we showed up, they said, you know, we didn't feel alone when you guys came. And, you know, we can even relate down our lives, and we stay a lot closer, but, you know, sometimes you just feel alone. You know we got God, but sometimes with life and with work, we forget that. And it's just good to have someone come and say, hey, I'm here. How you doing? You know, let's worship together. Let's be a family together. And it was just a good encouragement for them to see us in that way. I was speaking of serving and the group. We got a lot of different things from this trip. I've learned a lot about people that I don't think I would have learned no other way besides going to this mission trip. Between Mr. Steve and Miss Melinda, they was a walking CVS. Anytime I had an ailment, they had some type of prescription. If I blinked wrong, they said, well, you have a prescription for that too. And I mean, it was like, wow, what? We was prepared for everything. And I got to see the Mosleys. I got to see people, you know, when we weren't maybe feeling the best at times, that never stopped them. That never stopped them from fellowshipping with people. That never stopped them from leading songs. That never stopped them from leading classes. And the main goal of this mission trip, it wasn't to lead a VBS. It wasn't to build the church. It wasn't to do this physical activity or event. It was simply, let's make relationships. And how do you make relationships? You spend time with them. We have ways now. We got some names, got emails. We got some pictures that we all took in, and we're going to share it amongst the group just to say, hey, we haven't forgotten about you since we got to the U.S. It don't just stop since we left Guyana and we're here now. And so we've had that. We've also seen that the young folks like Kelvin, Michelle, I didn't get to see this side of him, but you know, she was saying Kelvin was a little rough, you know, when they first was there, but now he's married, he has to be a responsible adult. And every so often I got to see the old Kelvin, I said, it was our last day, man. You know, you're not gonna see us anymore. And I said, do you think we'll see you tomorrow? And he said, I hope not. I was shocked, wow. But that was kind of the old Kelvin coming out, getting comfortable with us, and we was really able to be encouraged. And one thing that is more apparent there, and it's here too, is that we really need to make sure that we're being leaders, or in the case of being a Paul to people's lives. I have teams that you may say, man, there's nobody watching me, but you'll be amazed how many little kids will watch you. When you're singing and you're not in it, you know, you just kind of in it, kids pick up on that. You don't have to say a word to them, but they will learn from you, and they will pick up every little tendency we do. They were singing in Guyana, and I can't remember the young man's name, but he said, hey, are you chewing or are you singing? And I was like, you know, I was like, man, I like this guy. But he wanted to make it a point that, hey, if you're here with the body, be with the body. Don't be, you know, you could be here, but you're not here. And I saw little kids looking at me. I didn't know the songs. There's youth group songs that I just didn't grow up here, so I don't know them, but it was like stat by stat. I mean, some of y'all may know what I'm trying to do. And the girl's looking at me, and I'm just, I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm trying. Because I wanted to show that I'm excited for Christ. I'm wanting to show that it's great to be a Christian. It's not miserable. It's not sad. And with the young Marys now, they now are starting to take a little more leadership role. My brother Lloyd, he admitted, he said, hey, I lived in sin. I lived with my now wife before we was married. And he was saying that's what he saw. He saw that for years. You know, we don't have to get married to, we can just live together, and that's okay. That's what they saw. That's what his mind said, it's okay to do that. And so when we say, who is your Paul in your life, or who is your Timothy, you'll be amazed that there's people that are watching you. And so when we get there, and we make sure we teach and we come back here, we have to make sure we live that. And I asked the young professionals, the Moses was able to speak to them, you know, who are you getting advice from? Who do you go to when you're looking for wisdom? Because the world got a lot of wisdom for you, but it's no good. And who do we go to? And so that was kind of the things that was going on in Guyana, where we really wanted to emphasize to them, hey, guys, be together. And as you're going through it, make sure you're giving back to those who's looking under you. Make sure that you're getting advice from those like Brother Green. He was a great guy to meet. You know, he showed me a picture. He had dreads. He told me, he said, yeah, the police was looking for me, so I had to cut my dreads off. And he had to get together. He said he had to get together. And it was awesome to see. So that was about 30 years ago. But now, you know, he's being a deacon. He sings. He's a farmer. And one thing he says, his life is sweet life. That was his key word, sweet life. Because when he farms and when he plants, he can't control the growth. He has to rely on God for it to grow. And he said, that's sweet. In the heat, you have to be in the dirt. It's sweet. There's not a lot of working opportunities like, oh, just apply for a job. There's not a lot of jobs available for them. They got farming, and there's, I know, the back down, but that's just not a healthy place for Christians to grow, to be in that environment. But he look at it as sweet. When I speak to people, they say they never knew what Paul had, you know, as far as a budget, as far as what resource did he have. We knew he had resources and people to support him. But they say, hey, even what we got, we still going to serve God. All of them don't have boats. They don't have vehicles. But they say, hey, if I have it, I'm sharing it. And they don't use that as an excuse to serve the Lord. When it's raining outside and we on a boat, they don't say, oh, let's go home. We turn around. No, we're going to ride in that rain to church. We're going to be wet when we get there, but hey, we there. When Kelvin, we was on that speedboat and it started pouring down. I mean, it poured down so much. When you look up, the rain is biting. It just, you know, you just have to look down. Kelvin, with no coat on, just like this, driving the boat. And I mean, when I had enough strength to look at him, because I'm getting hit with the rain, I'm looking at him, he just, I'm like, wow. You know, he put himself in that for us. My first time meeting him, you know, he could have easily said, all right, guys, I'm going to pull over, let the rain come. No, he got us to where we need to be. And he loved us while doing it, even in that pain. And so my biggest encouragement from that was, that's a family. But as hard as we was working during that mission trip, as much effort and much ground was putting, Satan was working too. We had someone, Brother Allen, youngest son, I believe, he committed suicide. And that was a sad time to see the family mourn in that way. We couldn't do anything, but we just had to let them know, hey, we're here. If you want to say something, we're listening. And I just remember the father, even in his grief, he thought about us. He ran and got chairs. We was outside with the sand. He ran and made like a, can't think of the proper term, I want to say a ditch, but to draw the water away from where we were sitting, to move it out the way. Then he made sure, he said, hey, you guys come here. Come in the house so we can get out the rain. We was under a tent, which was fine, but he wanted us to be in the tent. He thought about us, and we was here for him grieving. But he thought about us during that time. And things like that just sticks out to me. He had the perfect reason to be, I would say, selfish, where he's just going to focus on himself. But he still focused on the group. And that was... that love says so much more to me than anything I can tell him. And when I say Satan is working, I mean, we have the mission trip, and I encourage people to go on mission trips. But I also want to let you know that what you teach people here, we take it with us. When me and Michelle, we're in the core group, along with the Mosleys, we're in the core group. And one thing Michelle shared with me, she said, well, sometimes I feel like I'm not really doing much in the core group. But then we went to Guyana with the young and the marriage, and we had to teach them and share stuff with them for 3 days. And a lot of stuff we learned was from marriage retreats we was in, from the marriage groups that was in the core group. So we got to take a part of you all with us when we got to teach. And we got to hear things such as, I never heard that before. I stayed up all night because it was on my mind when I was listening to you all. when the group came, you all did this, I was thinking of, wow, we don't say this to each other. That's encouraging to know that at least one person said, man, I never heard that before. And so I encourage everyone, if you can go on a mission trip, go. If you have a hard time taking pills, try to find an alternative way. I'm being practical. If you struggle with the heat, hey, go anyway. They got fans. Not everybody have AC. I don't want to warn you that. But they got fans. And then you'll be amazed when you're with people, all that stuff I mentioned, it goes out the window. You don't even think about none of that. And so this was a real eye-opening trip for me. It really showed me how blessed we are as a country. Even when we say, oh, I'm in debt, or oh, I got to pay for this, we are so rich. We are so rich. Some people can't escape that reality of what they're in, but even then they say, we still have an obligation to serve Christ. So what's stopping me? And so I encourage everyone to talk to us after this, not let this be the only time you hear. Talk to us so we can tell you funny stories. There's people in a group I will never look at the same again, mostly for good, and some for I will never look at them the same again. But that's okay. Talk to us. I can share you those stories of why I say that. And just to close, Keyshore, he's really been working, but it's really encouraging to see that the work he's putting in, people are now stepping up to kind of do some of those roles where he doesn't have to do everything. He can trust his son, hey, you lead this class. I'm just going to sit down and play with your daughter. He loved his granddaughter. And so it was good to see that all those years that the college group and all you guys invested in those many years ago, they're now stepping up as leaders. And let's be encouraging for them and let them know I'm glad to see that. And also, let us step up and be encouraged by them too. Thank you.
I hope you see a theme here that outward is really about love. That's what it's about, because that's what Christianity is about. That's what God is about. That's what he calls us to do, is to love. And if you love, then you want what's best for people, and you do what's best, and you do whatever. Because God loved us, he what? Gave. And so if you love people, then you give of yourself. And God calls us to love people, to give of our time, or whatever it is that God has blessed you with. Just use that to serve people. And Jesus came to serve people, and he calls us to serve people and help them. But if you help people, and that's a way of building relationships and all, but if you help people, if you feed them, you do various things, but you never give them, if they never get the gospel, it doesn't matter if they're full, if they die and lose their soul. So it's important that somehow we get that message to them. And it may be that you take them to somebody who can give them the message. Maybe you can't. That's okay. Just care about them, love them, show them God's love, and help them to come to know Christ in one way or another. We're offering an invitation now to those who are here who aren't Christians. The great